And we've been announcing February the 20th through the 22nd. We'll be engaging our gospel meeting here with Brother Don Truex. Weekend series beginning on Friday night at 7:30. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Sunday afternoon at 1. And then, of course, our regular service times on Sunday. And also in light of that, there is a meal list on the bulletin board. And last time I checked, there were a couple of slots available. If you would like to have Brother Truex either for a meal on Saturday at noon or on Sunday at noon, I know that he would appreciate that. And he'd like to, you can sign up and take him for a meal. And of course, Saturday afternoon will be at Dunbar for those that would like to join us for that meal as well, Dunbar Community Center. And I hope that you're making plans to be a part of that. I have never personally met him, but I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of people that do know him. I have heard him preach on tape, and he is a very good speaker, and I know that he will fit well with his group. And well, let's just make plans to have a weekend together of spiritual fellowship and worship and feasting on God's Word. You know, one of the places in which people are willing to offer advice very quickly are politics and religion. And it's true that oftentimes the person who is the most vocal oftentimes is the one who is the least qualified to offer that spiritual counsel. And if you've been reading through the book of Exodus in our reading schedule for the month of February, you have probably already encountered the time in which Moses and Pharaoh of Egypt are engaging in dialogue. And there was a fellow by the name of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt, who was willing to offer spiritual counsel. And obviously he was not very qualified. Israel had been in bondage for 200 years. And Pharaoh has no desire at all to help Moses. He wants to keep the Israelites in slavery. He wants to keep them in Egypt. That was his motive. But during this time of dialogue and during the time of the plagues, he was willing to offer his advice. And I would suggest to you that Satan is doing the same thing today. He is willing to offer spiritual advice through his advisors. Such an example is in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 13, where the Apostle Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." The devil doesn't come out in a red suit and a pitchfork, but rather he appears as a minister of light. And he has servants who are willing to offer their spiritual counsel. And in offering their spiritual counsel, they appear to be ministers of righteousness. They look very attractive. And this was Pharaoh as he engaged in this discussion with Moses in the book of Exodus. I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, and I want you to notice some of the parallels that we find. We'll begin in the 7th chapter. And I want you to notice some of the parallels of the advice that Pharaoh was giving to Moses and the kind of advice that Satan's counselors would give to us today. In the 7th chapter of Exodus, first of all, in the second verse, God commanded Moses and said, "You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of this land, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." So Moses follows the commandment. In the 8th chapter, the second verse, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8, "The Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs.' Pharaoh hardened his heart and wouldn't listen." And so finally, after several plagues, Pharaoh offers a compromise. The compromise is, I'll let you go, but you need to serve God in the land. And so it says that Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptian to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptian before their eyes, will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He will command us. You can sacrifice to God, but you need to stay here in the land. Satan offers the same spiritual advice today. He says, you can serve God, but not in the place that is acceptable to serve God. I use that in the figurative sense. For example, how many times have you heard people, in fact, just recently I heard it at the Dairy Queen, a fellow to tell me that I can serve Jesus, but I don't need a church. We had a long discussion about that. About how God offers and wants spiritual accountability in a church. But I can serve, he says, I preach Jesus, but I don't preach about the church. Well, the two are inseparable. Look in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, if you want to hold your place in Exodus. And look, first of all, in Ephesians, the second chapter, and notice beginning with verse 19, when God describes, or Paul describes, God's church, God's spiritual temple, in Ephesians, the second chapter. Beginning at verse 19, he says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. He described the church, God's people, as God's house, God's temple, the place of God's dwelling, the place of God's Spirit. To say I can serve God and not be in that relationship is redundant, but a lot of people believe that. We can preach Jesus, but don't talk about His church. Well, the two are inseparable. It is impossible. I realize that Jesus offers the blessing. The church does not bestow any blessing. The church is simply God's people. But certainly, we must be in that fellowship before we can serve Him acceptably. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Certainly, we cannot serve God acceptably unless we have those spiritual blessings. And those spiritual blessings are what? In Jesus Christ. But how else does Paul describe that relationship? Same chapter. You go down to verse 22. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfills all in all. I can't serve God acceptably and be separated from the head, Jesus, and to be connected with the head, Jesus, I certainly must be in his body. Ephesians chapter 5, he describes in verse 25 as the church as being the saved body of Christ. It is a place where the sinner has been, or the relationship in which the sinner has been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. Thus, the only way that I can serve Him acceptably is if I'm in that relationship. But the devil would have us to believe otherwise. In fact, the devil would have us to believe that I can serve God acceptably and I have no need of even a local fellowship or a local church. But in Acts 2, the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. God knew that we needed accountability. God knew that we needed spiritual oversight. God knew that we needed spiritual leadership. And thus, in His love, He devised this simple scheme called the local church, through which we could have that fellowship and accountability and that relationship. It is one of God's means of sanctifying His people. of being in this great relationship. Sometime we fumble around. Sometime we stumble around. Sometime we fuss. Sometime we fight. Sometime we love each other. But it is God's mean of bringing us together so that we can serve God together and have a team and have accountability. But Satan, like Pharaoh, would say, "You can serve me, but you don't need that church down there. Why don't you stay in the land?" Well, in the book of Exodus, after that doesn't work and Moses refuses that compromise, we come to, again, the 8th chapter. And in the very next few verses, we find that Satan's advice is, "Well, okay, you can serve me and you can go in the wilderness, but don't go too far." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord and the God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away." Don't go too far. Sound familiar? And you know, there are a lot of people today, they have just enough religion to make them miserable. The fact is that they have never really made a complete and full commitment to Christ. God wants us, or the devil would love us to serve God in a lukewarm and indifferent fashion. Satan loves half-heartedness. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, you have an example of unfortunately, a church that had that problem. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, in the Revelation chapter 3, and beginning with verse 15, when Jesus speaks to the church of Laodicea. He says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and do you not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garment that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with all eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." Here was a church that was indifferent. We are rich, we've arrived, we have need of nothing, and yet they were lukewarm. Oh, he loves it when people are hit and miss in Bible classes. He loves it when we neglect the Bible, personal Bible study. He loves it when we have indifference and apathy with sharing the gospel with others. He loves it when we're indifferent. But I'm going to tell you that the life of a Christian is not a life of mediocrity. You know, it's real easy for me to compare myself with somebody else. Oh, well, Jamie over here, you know, he's like that, so I can be like that, or vice versa. Or it's real easy for us as a congregation to compare ourselves with some other church. But the standard is not another church. And the standard is not another person. The standard is Jesus Christ. And when I understand that, that raises the bar. That raises the standard for my everyday living. I am to live as Jesus lived. There's no room for mediocrity in Christianity. And there is no room for indifference. But Satan loves it. He loves it when his people, God's people, are indifferent. "Oh, you can serve me. And you can go in the wilderness, but just don't go very far away." Satan loves it when men tap in to that spiritual advice. But the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain if it be in the Lord." Well, Moses refused that counsel. And so, we come to the 10th chapter, Plague of the Locust. And in the 10th chapter, we notice that Satan's advice is, "You can serve God, you can go in the wilderness, but leave your family behind." And so in chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, it says, Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Who's going to go with you? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughter, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve the Lord. For that is what you desired. And they were driven from Pharaoh's presence. So you can go, but take only the men. But leave your family behind. Your children and your little ones. The women and children. You know, Satan doesn't come out and say, dads, just let your children go to eternal condemnation. He doesn't do that. But what he does do is he gets us so busy with so many things that are so unimportant that we forget the priority of being the spiritual leader of that family. That the most important thing is that the disciples in my family need to serve God and they need my spiritual guidance so that they can go to heaven. We're so busy, we don't have time for that. And I hear some say, well, I want to cram religion down them. Not the point. But let me ask you a question. If you woke up this morning and the house was on fire, what would you do? I know what you would do. You would drag that child out of the house, would you not? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The house is on fire. The house is burning down. This day, we are one day closer to eternity. One moment closer to eternity. The house is on fire. And the most important thing is, for our children, is they need to hear you talk, as Brian mentioned a minute ago, about the meaning of the Lord's Supper. They need your spiritual guidance. Book of Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to notice that what Moses counseled the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and beginning with verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Wherever you go, when you rise up, when you sit down, when you walk by the way, let them hear the word of God. You know, we've been studying in the book of Acts back in the high school class on Sunday morning. I'm impressed by the attitude of Cornelius. Over in the 10th chapter of Acts, you remember that God had brought Peter together with this Gentile to hear the gospel. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, it states in the 24th verse that the day following, they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. And in the same chapter, down in verse 33, Cornelius said, I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. And he says, and now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. We have come together to hear what God wants us to hear. But Satan says, you can serve God, but don't take your family with you. Now, what do you think was going to happen if the men go to the wilderness? You know what's going to happen? They're going to come back for the women and children. Pharaoh knew that. So Well, that doesn't work. So he says, well, I tell you what, you can go, but leave your possessions behind. You can go, take the wives and children. But Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back, but let your little ones also go with you. Okay, take your children, but leave behind your possessions. So if I convert the whole family, then where do you think God's going to hit the bank account? Your possessions. You can take your children with you, but leave behind your money. You know, some people simply do not use their possession to the glory of God. That's the problem. God has richly blessed us, but the problem is that we simply do not use it to God's glory. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. You remember the story of the rich young ruler that is recorded in 10th chapter of Mark, and beginning with the 17th verse. As he was going out on a road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not fraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, said, and loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The problem was that he loved his possessions more than God. He was not willing to use what God had given him to his glory. I recall the statement made by Jesus in the 6th chapter of Matthew in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And maybe I need to do a little confessing. You know, it's real easy to lock in to this material world. I'll give an example. A few years ago, they came out with this nice little gadget called the cell phone. Everybody had one. So I thought, well, you know, gingers have to drive home late at night after band practice. I'd like for her to have one. Pretty practical. So I went down and I said, I just want a cell phone. I don't want any fancy gadgets. I just want a phone, a basic plan, you know. Okay, no problem. So we bought the basic plan. But they're real smart. Because, you know, after so long of a couple of years of contract, they say, you know what, Mr. Slover, if you know, because you've been with us and you're a loyal customer, if you'll agree to 2 more years, we'll give you an upgrade. Wow. In fact, we'll give you a brand new phone, $100 toward a brand new phone. Wow. Well, that's when I really bit the dust. You know, I got that $99 phone for nothing, supposedly. Not really. I got that $99 phone, and you know that little phone became my friend? In fact, it became an appendage. In fact, you can ask Ginger, it almost became a person. You know, I had the voice memo, and I could make my own little silly personalized ringtones. And I could, you know, had a little calendar on there, and it would beep at me and remind me that I need to go out in the front yard and turn the sprinkler off. And all the other little things that I needed to be reminded of. Well, after 2 years, I go down to Verizon, and they say, you know, you've been a real loyal customer, we'll give you a new one. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll do that. So they gave me this new one, and I had it for a day, and I was sad, and I said, I don't like this phone. I want my little old phone back. I want the one that I've had for 2 years. So I went down, and I told the man, I said, I want you to activate this phone, and I'll keep this one for, you know, emergencies. If this one I lose, this one I'll have a backup. It's a good idea. He said, I don't understand it, but whatever you want to do. And I said, no, you don't understand. This little phone become my friend. You know, I can't go without it. And so For 2 more years I had my phone until this last week when I finally bit the dust. And I got that phone that has the flip open and you can do the text messaging and all that stuff. And you know, the night that I bought that phone, I lost sleep. Because the reality is that I like the old one better than the new one. And you know, I thought the next day, this is really silly. There are people in this world whose souls are lost in sin, and I'm losing sleep over a cell phone. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I'm reminded of a statement that is made by Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, when he commends the Macedonians, first of all, in the first part of that chapter, when he says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. They were willing out of deep poverty to give. And I'm reminded also of a statement that is made by Paul in the same context in the 9th chapter, where Paul says in verse 8, and now God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. If I make the commitment, God will find a way. You know what Moses' answer was? No compromise. Our livestock shall also go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. Even we do not know what we with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. Not a hoof shall be left behind. You know, we sang a minute. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. The reality is that we cannot serve God acceptably and leave some of it up to the devil. Can't do that. I'm going, and I'm going all the way. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And while I live in this world, my citizenship is in heaven. I'm giving it all to God. No compromise. I'm giving it all to Him. What about you? What about you? Maybe there's someone today who's never started that journey. I'm going to tell you, it's a struggle, but it's a great journey. The journey of the Christian. Maybe someone stumbled along the way. Maybe you need encouragement. If you have a need of any kind, if we can assist you in any way, we certainly welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come if we stand and sing the song selected.